I'm gonna put Blog me on me.
Radio.
Okay.
Mayor Young in Detroit, this is for you, okay? Join me if you will on the park. You've been such a marvelous audience. I wonder if I could impose on you just one more time. I'd like to hear everybody snap your finger, clap your hands, or something right here, you know. Those of you that were born from born here in Detroit, could I get you to say Detroit? Huh? But I want to hear you say it, okay? I'm going to count to four, and then I want to hear you. One, two, three, four. Detroit! Bring it down just a little bit more, would you? Yeah. Ah, yeah. Now, those of you that are from Detroit, oh, right on, honey. You from Detroit? Well, she's not only saying it, she's showing you. Can I get everybody right here? When I throw the mic out there, I want to hear you say Detroit, okay? Oh, no, we got to do it together. One, two, three, four. Hey, yeah. Huh. Again. One, two, three, four. Would you tear the roof off the mother this time for me? Huh? One, two, three, four.
Detroit.
Hey, uh-huh, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh my.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Dry Bones Connection on Friday night. This is Antoinette, and tonight I have with me Ms. Kim Weston as my co-host. And tonight we're going to be discussing The Call. That is the title of the show. It's The Call. And it's going to be with Roland Biney, who is an author and a radio personality. And he is also Smokey Robinson's nephew. While we're waiting for Mr. Bynum to call in, Ms. Kim, I listened to Detroit Live. I heard you say we're going to tear the roof off the sucker.
Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Ms. Kim Weston, y'all, forgive me. Well, I was like, oh, Ms. Kim didn't fit there.
I said hello to everybody, and then I said, yes, I said, tear the roof off.
Yes, okay, forgive me, and I added sucker, forgive me. As I said, you were getting hip there, weren't you, Miss Kim?
No, I wasn't getting hip, dear.
Oh, you were already hip.
I've known Roland since you were Roland Bynum. I've known him. I guess he was a teenager when I met him.
Oh.
And he was there at Motown. So I'm interested in hearing from someone that was there, that was in the inner circle.
Yes.
From their eyes, even though people don't know him, you know, like they would know Smokey or some of the other artists. But
yeah.
He was there with us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And God has really blessed him. He's a minister now.
He was a minister.
Yeah, he's a minister as well. You know?
Oh, that's good.
It's interesting. The title of the book is called God Shots.
Yes.
I didn't get it until late last night. So.
Life is a journey, but it's nothing without God. That's the full title.
Yeah. Yes. You told me that you enjoyed your conversation with him. Huh?
Yes, I did. I truly did. He's really a very fascinating man. He truly is.
He's been on radio for years. He was on radio here in Detroit. I can't remember which station it was, but he'll let us know. Hopefully, he'll be on in a moment.
Yeah, and now he's in California, and they say he's one of the top in the country radio personalities.
Well, he's known for his radio and his DJing, you know, Roland Bynum. Like he and the young man I'm thinking of was a protege of Ernie Durham. He was called Frantic Ernie Durham. And something I never hear anybody say anything about, the DJs and the people of Detroit made Motown. The people made Motown. The people of Detroit and the DJs. And Frantic Ernie Durham was one of the, oh, I almost had his name. He was on, now he didn't know exactly who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He was on BET
uh-huh.
as one of the commentators. And he's out there in California, I guess.
Oh, okay.
But Detroit was a special place. Like, we're special people wherever we are.
Yeah.
It's my belief that God has a special calling on Detroit. Because if you look at Detroit, this is where the first nation of Islam, this is where the nation of Islam started.
Oh, okay. And I always thought it was in New York.
It started. Temple number one is on Linwood in Detroit right now.
Oh, okay.
I know they've expanded, but temple number one, the very first temple of the Nation of Islam, was here in Detroit. Okay?
Yeah.
And of course, we know Ford Motor Company, and we got to put Motown in there. You know, that's three fabulous firsts.
Okay. And Tim, I thought Chrysler came out of Detroit. Didn't Chrysler come out of Detroit also?
Yes, but Ford was first.
Oh, okay. Well, Miss Kim, what happened, in your opinion, to Detroit?
America.
Okay.
What can I say, you know? But I'm going to tell you something.
Okay.
I don't care what we going through. We are still a blessed people. And we need to start calling our blessings, because we are a blessed people. There are no people in the world like the black people of America. I don't care where you live. There are no people in the world like us. And we need to lift our heads up and start thanking God for what we've got, because we've got more than we're paying attention to.
Yes. Yes, that is true.
And nobody knows them like we do.
Yeah, well, we had no other choice, really. I mean, it was, yeah, I mean, we were people that wanted to do so much.
I'm not dwelling there. I'm making my statement. Okay?
Yes.
Moving on. You see, that's part of the problem. You don't need to dwell on nothing.
Yes.
Just make a statement, and those that have ears to hear, they should hear.
Yes. Yes, you are right. Well, tonight we're not only, you know, we're acknowledging Memorial Day, this Memorial weekend. So we want to make sure that we lift up our veterans, you know, the ones that have fallen, and also the ones that are here with us now. And I know that that is dear to your heart.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Because and that song, which is yours truly, and the young people from the Detroit Summer Youth Program, that's mm-hmm. the vocal workshop and the instrumental workshop behind me.
Yes.
And that was dedicated to the American veteran in 1992. And
yes.
it's more needed now than it was then.
Yes.
And if you don't mind, before the program is over, I'd appreciate it if you play it again.
Of course. Let's
play it again while we're waiting for Roland. Let me see if I can find it. Okay.
All right, I'll play it again for you.
Thank you.
Just a minute, y'all. I'm going to play God Bless America again by Kim West.
Dedicated to the veterans and the community.
Okay. Here we go, y'all.
Antoinette.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to call in to you, see if you have any problem. I'll call you back in. You can put me back in.
Yes.
Okay.
America. Land that I love. Stand beside her. And guide her through the night. From the mountains to the prairie to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America. Oh,
At the moment, we're having a little difficulty getting everything back together. So please give me a moment. Let me see what else I can do real quick.
Will be my claim to fame. A girl with no name. That way I won't have to feel the pain. Indispensable. Just a plain old human being. Today don't mean a thing. In a world that's so mean. A world that seems not for me. Way I won't have to explain a thing, if you know what I mean. I won't even have to be here on the scene. It's so ridiculous, but the strife and the bliss go right on through me to have missed all the things that hurt. Little fame, fortune, and wealth. It's so ridiculous, but the strife and the bliss will go right on through me to have missed. All the world seems not for me, so privately I'll be invisible. That way I won't have to explain a thing, if you know what I mean. Be here on the scene. So ridiculous, but the strife and the bliss go right on through me to have been. All the things that hurt you so, no one would ever know. No, 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 they never know. Life's so preciously, just don't sing to me. They claim freedom to be. Oh, things are going fast. To allow that all's in the past. To have to take what you can get. Sure can make a heart upset. So I'll be invisible.
Okay, folks, thank you for bearing with me. Ms. Kim?
I'm trying to get, I had Roland on the other line, and I think I got him holding over there.
You want me to call him? Okay, well, yeah, I guess he's checking things out. He's trying to get in touch with him. So I'm sorry, y'all. We have people that have dropped. Okay, to go show you how important this is, because we're having difficulties on the show just again. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I do.
I just
you.
Gotta, yeah, you got me. Okay, folks, we're back with you.
But I got a little on hold.
Okay, I'm sorry. Wait a minute, Ms. Kim. I know what I do. Wait a minute. Folks, I'm so sorry for the interruption. Now, without further ado, we have with us Roland Bynum. Roland, are you with us?
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm blessed. Highly favored. You know?
Yes, you are. And we're so honored to have you here with us. Now, Ms. Kim, do we have you too?
She was with me a few minutes ago. I think she'll try to rejoin us. Yeah.
Yeah, she's still on the line, so maybe she just stepped away for a moment. But we're so glad to have you on this Memorial Day weekend. And I want to ask you about your book.
Okay.
Yes. God's Shots, Life and a Journey. Life is a Journey.
Life is a journey, but it's nothing without God.
That's right. You're so right.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, yes. Antoinette, thank you, first of all, for this opportunity to grace your airwaves and be on your show.
Oh, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I don't know if the audience knows anything about me. I'm 57 years in the radio industry, retired teacher. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, grew up as a foster youth. Lived in the Detroit Inkster area, joined the Marine Corps when I was 17 after I graduated from high school, and that was my journey to California. I ended up getting back to Michigan and coming back to California and enrolled in Los Angeles City College and studied radio broadcasting. I then returned back to Detroit, Michigan, Inkster area. I got my first job in Montgomery, Alabama.
Oh.
I then got back to Michigan, and then I ended up getting hired from a weekend job to a full-time job in Los Angeles, replacing the Mr. Famous Magnificent Montague, who coined the phrase, burn, baby, burn, for many who knows the Watts Revolt in 1965.
Yeah.
And so I've been in radio and some other things, but the book that I wrote is a book that I had no idea that I was going to write, Antoinette.
No.
Not at all. In fact, when I began to share my story with people over and over again, they kept saying that you should write a book. Now, I must admit that I was an English teacher at the famous John Muir High School in Pasadena, the home of where Jackie Robinson, the first black baseball player, went to high school, and that's where I worked for 18 years as an English teacher.
Oh, wow.
And yet, I had no inkling of writing a book. So about 15 years ago, I started to put down some ideas and recollect my life. And finally, I went back to school and got two more master's degrees. I have three of them.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And continue to teach. And during that spare time, I continued to write my book. I finished it. I completed my book on my mother's birthday, July 25th. I launched it. on July 25th, on my mother's birthday. Why is this important?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you. What God chants us about is I'm 80 years young, my first 27 years.
Mm-hmm.
When I was born, 11 months after I was born, my brother and I, Tyrone, were taken out of our mother's arms, who was a 16-year-old teenager.
Yes.
He was placed with a family member, and I was placed in an institution called the Children's AIDS Society in the state of Michigan.
Oh, wow.
And I lived in the Detroit area, Conant Gardens, as a foster youth,
mm-hmm.
Until I was 11 years old. And at 11 years old, February of 1952, the aid worker came and picked me and one of my aid brothers up and moved us from Conant Gardens in Detroit to Inkster, Michigan. For the last 6 years of my fosterism, that's where I was. I was in Inkster, Michigan. Well, my book depicts that journey, the abuse, the loneliness, the despair, the wanting of a family. It depicts that journey.
Yeah.
I want to also tell you that when I moved to Inkster, I knew a gentleman by the name of Malcolm X. He came and used to get his hair cut, and I used to shine his shoes in a Muslim barber shop in Inkster, Michigan.
Oh, wow.
I knew he had a brother in Inkster, but it was not until I read The Reinvention of Malcolm X and on page 100 that I did discover that Malcolm moved to Inkster the same year I did when he was released from prison in 1952.
Oh.
I too moved there, and we lived on the same street. He lived on one end of the street with his brother Wilbert, and I lived on the other end of the street.
Wow.
Well, there's more to be revealed. And so I joined the Marine Corps. And in my book, I tell the story about being in the Marine Corps with Lee Harvey Oswald.
Oh, wow.
The accused assassin of John F. Kennedy.
Yes.
Well, my children call me not Forrest Gump, but Roland Gump, because my life has crossed many, many paths with many people.
Yes.
And so I'm going to fast forward.
Take your time.
So what happened is I became a broadcaster. And when I graduated from Los Angeles City College in the broadcasting department, the Watts Revolt happened on my second wedding anniversary, August the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after, I moved back to Inkster, Michigan, and I worked in the factories until I got my first commercial job in Montgomery, Alabama. My birthday, my 25th birthday weekend, I met James Brown. He was performing at Alabama State. I worked there for 6 months, and my book tells you of this journey. And I kind of figured I had outgrown Montgomery, and I moved back to Inkster and began to work weekends, filling in for the legends like Martha Jean, the Queen, Butterball, so many others. And so I want to tell you, God is in our lives, and we need to pay attention to the signals that he's giving us.
Yes.
One day I was sitting in for one of the regular disc jockeys on a Saturday, and I read in a magazine that a radio station in Los Angeles was looking for a replacement for that very famous Magnificent Montague. And I went home, told my wife that I was going to get the job.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what?
You got the job. All right.
And so I moved back to Michigan.
Safe.
Well,
yes.
We had our first child. I'm going to wrap this up because this is what's happening. So what happened is, Antoinette,
mm-hmm.
when we had our first child, my wife told me, she knew I was a foster youth, that if my mother was still alive, that she still loved me. And I told her, I know nothing about that. I know nothing about my mother. I know nothing about my father. I don't know anything about my family. She said, well, I was promoted to run a radio station in Charlotte, North Carolina. She said, en route, why don't we stop in Detroit and why don't you go to the Children's Aid Society and see if you can get some information about your family?
Yeah.
And I said, okay, what the heck?
Yeah.
Well, Antoinette, that's exactly what happened. And in the book, I tell how on May the 10th, and this is still May, 1968, I met my mom, my dad, 9 brothers and sisters, and a very famous Motown entertainer who I had been seeing since I was a teenager in the Detroit area.
Yes.
A month before that, in April of 1968, I went to a Marvin Gaye concert at the Coconut Grove, and this entertainer was there.
Oh,
and I did
wow.
not know that he was kin to me. And a month later, when I discovered my family, I found out that this entertainer was my mother's little brother, and that is none other than Smokey Robinson.
Yes, that had to really be something to be in the same town with him and to not know that that was your uncle.
Not at all. No way. So that's what my book, it culminates and ends. I did not want to write my entire life, because after that, my life changes. And and so that's a whole nother chapter of my life. But that's what the book is called. It's called God Shots. God Shots are things that happen for you that God gives you with grace. And when you did not, I mean, he's protecting you and guiding you and caring for you. And the God Shots that we receive, we oftentimes don't pay attention to them. And we don't realize it until it's in hindsight. So that's why the book is called God Shots. Life is a journey, but it's nothing without God.
Yes. Wow. So how was it when you first met your uncle? When you first met your uncle, Smokey Doak? But personally, to meet him and to know that this is your kin, this is your family.
Well, when I met the family that day, May 10th, and it was Mother's Day weekend, Antoinette. Note how God sets it up. It was Mother's Day weekend. It was the Friday before Mother's Day. And so what happened is that when I went to my mother's home and my father's home on Green Lawn, by the way, listen to this. There's another famous entertainer whose family lives 4 doors from my mother, and that's Stevie Wonder.
Oh, wow.
And that's who I work with now at his radio station in Los
Angeles.
Yeah,
that's what I had to ask you, that you were at his radio station as
that is
a
correct.
Radio host. A journalist, yes.
And so my mom called him. He was in San Francisco, and my mom called him, and she said, he's crying.
Oh.
And he said, oh, he's crying. And so when I got on the phone with him, he said, hey, baby, look here, baby. Look here, did I tell you that you look like somebody in my family? And I told him, I said, no, Smoke.
Oh, my.
I'm trying to imitate him, of course, you know, and I told him no. I said we just briefly spoke to each other and went separate ways.
Yeah.
But when my grandmother Flossie died, my mother's mother, my family, my mom and dad adopted him. So he's not only my uncle, he's my adopted brother.
Oh, wow.
So we consider each other brothers. He calls me Brofew. And I call him Bro Unk.
Oh, wow. That's really something. So you're a big part of Motown.
Not me. He is.
Look, your brother and your uncle.
Yeah, but that's his journey. That wasn't mine.
Yes.
Yeah. By the grace of God.
For you. I mean, it goes to show you that God truly has plans for Detroit and, you know, look, and he sent you and minister to be a part of it.
Amen. This, amen. Amen.
So.
Amen.
God had it set up.
Amen.
Yes.
So that's my book. The book is available on Amazon.com. It's called God Shots Plural by Roland Bynum. And, and I believe God has given me at least 4 to 5 books inside of me. I'm 80, but I think I got time to write them.
Yes, I think you do, too. Ms. Kim, you with us? Ms. Kim, take yourself off of mute if you have yourself on mute, please.
Yep, I got myself on mute, and I'm just talking. I learned so much. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you, Roland. And you know I love you.
Right.
So
that's mutual, Miss Mama Weston, you know that, Sister Weston.
Yeah, got it. Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, you said a whole lot there, boy. My goodness.
Well, what,
but, and I don't know how long I've been knowing you. I've been knowing you forever, but like I said, thank you so much. One thing that we do on the show, the Valley of the Dry Bones Connection, it's a family where we're reaching out to each other to share for us to, you know, what you just got through saying, pay attention. I named tonight's show The Call because all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Okay. So that's what I didn't know how much was called in there. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, they'll never forget what they heard tonight. And I hope you have time to let some of the family come in and talk to you, because it's been so enlightening to me since I've been dealing with the family here with the Valley of the Dry Bones. I thank them all the time because it's an enlightenment. You know what I'm saying? And that's, but amen. What I say all the time is that we need to pay. What did I say when we opened tonight? We need to pay attention. You know, we're blessed people.
Yes, we are.
It's time for us to stand up. You know, for those that are called, they know that they're called because God has given them something special, and it's time for us to use what has been given. So I mean, you told about the book, but now we've got at least another hour. If you have the time for you to share with us and allow us to, you know, dwell, dive in some more.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here, Sister Kim, Sister Antoinette. Right. I'm right here.
Yes, well, we're grateful to you. You really are.
Then we don't have no hands up here, Antoinette.
No, if anyone has a question or comment, if you press the number 1, I'll be happy to open up your line so that you can ask your question or give your comment.
I really would like to ask him now to come back because one of the things that I said before we start playing phone tag was that the DJs and the citizens of Detroit made Motown. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, wasn't that when they also paid the DJs to play the music?
No, that's another time. No, that's another time. That's after Motown is made. But I'm talking about Motown being the first black company that black music was able to be played, that we did, that we wrote, that we played the instruments. You see, all the other times they were in control, you know. But this is the first time that black music was able to be explored and exploited to the people. That might not be the right word, but exposed to the people, you know. But the DJ, if I had not been, what station were you on here, Mom?
In Detroit, Inkster area, I was at WCHB. Out in Inkster.
Well, that's where I was.
WCHB was the first black-owned radio station in America, built from the ground up by Dr. Cox and Mr. Bell. So William Cox and Haley Bell,
GPR
father
was
and
before,
son-in-law.
Excuse me. GPR was before CHB.
Well, I don't know. I just know
that
1950.
But
when he built it.
But what I'm saying is this here. GPR owned by the
Masons
what
or somebody,
the
Elks, right?
The Masons, right. The Masons.
Yeah,
Dr.
Yeah,
Banks.
Yeah, that's right.
Dr. Banks. That was
the first
black station. And then CHB, the Coxes had CHB and JZZ. I was on CHB for 3 years, you know.
Yeah. And WJZZ, that is correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Amen.
Yes. Brother Roland, can I ask you, now you said that Stevie Wonder said that he could see that you were, that you reminded him of, that you looked like someone in his family.
Smokey said that. Yeah, Smokey said that.
Oh, okay.
That when you look at my and see my family, you can see the resemblance of why he would say that. Because me and my brother Bill and, you know, Jackie and all of us, you know, there were 10 of us. So we did look a lot alike. Yeah, we favored a lot. So, and that's why he said it. And he said, and in his book, he writes, this cat across the room there looks like one of my family members. You know, so he actually writes about our journey in his book equally as well. So, yeah. But see, I was also blessed to be a teacher. So I started teaching when I was 59, and I went back to school and got my teacher's credential. I already had one master's degree, and then I went back and got two more in administration and leadership and in counseling. I am now in Bible college working towards another degree. So. Yeah. I've been in Bible college 2.5, going on 3 years. So it's just a way to keep myself, to get wisdom and understanding, you know, as we grow as human beings.
Continue to learn.
Amen.
We have to continue to learn. We have to keep
Amen.
Our brains
yes.
working.
Amen.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Hold on.
Yes.
Would you believe that the Magnificent Montague was one of my mentors?
I do believe it. Yeah, I believe it. Yeah. He was quite a person.
When I moved to Los Angeles, he took me to 4 or 5 used book stations, bookstores. And he helped me to get some books that I was not aware of.
Well, he has one of the largest African American artifacts in the world of books, memorabilia in the world. One of the most prestigious African American historical memorabilia in the world, and books and ledgers and pictures and paintings. Yeah.
Before the Mayflower, he bought me so many books. When I got home, I just had to stack them up. I had to go by the bookcase to put them in. And my mother read every one of them. And it's unfortunate she wasn't able to share that. But see, that's what we got to do. We got to share that when we get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what he was doing. Because, like I said, Superman the Man. Oh, man, I love that.
I've heard about it, but I've never read it.
Those are books that you you have to have a real understanding that they exist. A lot of people don't know they exist. Exactly.
Yes. Yes, I've heard about that book several times. You know, I keep saying, I'm going to have to get that book. But I just haven't done it yet.
Well,
These are the things that I'm saying we need to do for ourselves. You know what I'm saying? I'm not against anybody making any money.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's what my problem is. I'm more concerned about our spirits growing, expanding, using what God gave us for His glory. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't need a bunch of black. Listen, I remember when there wasn't no black people on the television, okay?
Yeah.
And now that we got black people on the television, they need to be doing something other than humping on each other and slobbing all over each other.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Miss Kim. Yes.
So I'm saying there are stories that need to be told, Are you able to get to some of that stuff that Montague had?
No, that's all in his warehouse. You know, he does not. He has, it's over $1 million worth of stuff. But
he passed, right?
I mean, not to my knowledge, I hadn't heard anything about Montague dying. Nothing. Vegas and then Palm Springs. I haven't heard anything about him dying.
Well, that's something you could do for me if you don't mind. If you could find out if he's available, because he's somebody that we need on drive-ons.
Yes. Yes, we do.
They're talking about historians.
He's a historian. Yeah, he's a historian, absolutely.
Yes, well, you know, the history of Memorial Day, the way how it's taught now, you would not know that we were the founders of Memorial Day.
Yeah, I just read that the other day.
Yeah.
That originally happened about 1865, somewhere around there.
Yes, it was the former enslaved soldiers, you know, when their family members had died, you know, in the war, buried, and it was called Decoration Day. And it,
that's correct.
You know, and since white folks didn't want us to have anything of our own, they, you know, adopted. And, you know, that's history that people are not aware of, that that started with black folks.
It sure did. It's, I just read that the other day, a Decoration Day, and then it evolved into what it is. But Africans, I have a problem with calling, and when I taught school, I taught this, mm-hmm. that until we earned the right to vote, we were not African Americans. We were just Africans.
Yeah.
We weren't Americans. See, for me, even though the ancestors, and I'm not talking about, 4,000 years ago. I'm talking about
right.
in this country, the forebears
right.
in this country. We keep yeah. calling them, we went from slaves, and then they want to call them African Americans. But you aren't an American until you bear all of the rights of an American. And
yeah.
we never got all of those rights. You know, we
no.
went through slavery, Jim Crow, Ku
yeah.
Klux Klanism. We went through all of the things that
yeah.
barred us from
yeah.
From lynching, from having our rights. And in turn, why do we keep calling us African Americans? We were not Americans until we earned the right to vote, until we earned and got full citizenship in this country. So I don't go with that African American concept. We were black people in this country, but not African American. No way.
Yep, black and colored. Because I remember being colored, when they would call you colored.
Yes, of course.
Yep.
Yeah, we've evolved from slavery to nigger to colored, just everything you can think of that has a negative connotation to
yeah.
who we are as a great race of people.
Yeah.
So I don't prescribe to that we're African Americans. Not until we earn the right and receive the right to vote and be full citizens in this country. And we're
yeah,
not well, now. We know that, but
no. Well, with the 14th Amendment, I think it's still a part of the problem, just the way how it's worded. And then they act like we all are covered under the Constitution, but the Constitution is suspended now. No, so
it sure
really,
is.
Who is an American that has the full rights?
Well, it's the dominant culture, white people.
Yeah.
That have full rights. I don't know about any other group of people on this continent that have full rights other than white people.
Yeah, but then I think that's the old white men.
Well, of course, and of course, then you got to classify it as economics to rich.
Yes.
White men.
Yes.
Have all of the privileges of Americanism. So,
yes.
So, it's just how we just got to stop and slow down and look at things for what it really is and what it represents.
Yeah. And then figure out where we're going from there. Because I'm thankful for what Dr. King did and the marches and everything. But that's not going to work this time, in my opinion. That's not going to do it this time.
What's not going to do it?
The marching and, picketing.
Right.
And I'm not calling for violence. But I don't think the marching and picketing is going to do it. I think what's really going to help is hurting their pockets.
Well, it's got to be an economic. As Dr. King
yes.
said it, it's got to be an economic revolution for minorities and the have-nots in this country. And that's never going to happen. Power only acquiesces to power. If you don't have any power, you don't have any power. That's just the bottom line. Powerless people are powerless, period. And the only way that you can get power is by unifying in a strong group. Individually, not much of a chance. So I don't know. We'll
I don't know either. That's what I said. I mean, to me, we're lost as a people, but we can't be lost. I mean, look at all that we've been through and all that we survived through, and we're still here.
Amen.
You know, we're that weed that they're still trying to get rid of.
Amen. Right. Amen. We're still here. We're not going anywhere.
No.
We need to protect our African-American men.
Yes.
And our children.
Did I say earlier that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to purpose?
Yeah.
All things
that's
work
biblical.
Together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Many are called
purpose.
And few are chosen.
Right.
And those that are chosen, they were chosen before the foundation of the world.
Good word there, Sister Kim. Good word.
Yes, it is. But, you know, we need something that's going to bring us together. But we also have to look at the things that is being done, you know, with our food and everything else. What are we doing as a whole?
In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path.
Yes.
Proverbs 3:5, 6, and 7.
Yes, and I think that's where it comes to going back to the earth, you know, where we have to grow our own food. We have to stand for ourselves. You know, we have to be dependent on God, but we have to do for self. You know, we have to learn, you know, for those that don't know, how to grow food. We have to learn about going in and, you know, identifying the plant life and everything else to know what we can use as medicines. So these are things that we have to learn and teach so the others will know, because these times that are coming and that are here, these are treacherous times, and we can't depend on man.
Amen. Well, we just got to keep loving each other and embracing each other and encouraging one another.
Yes.
And protect the babies. Make
sure
the
babies
definitely. Are healthy.
Yes,
that's our future, the babies. So
yes.
We got to protect them and make sure that they get what they need in life to grow fruitfully and healthy and
yes.
And to make a difference in our world.
Yes.
You know.
And we have to know our past. You know, we have to know our past. We have to teach our history.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's being done. You know, we the world is not all negative. There's a lot of things going on that are positive. So,
yeah.
Excuse me, that are positive, and we just keep pushing, right?
Yeah.
Just keep pushing.
Yes.
Yeah.
We need to accentuate the positive. You remember that song?
Yes.
We got to accentuate the positive and eliminate
the
negative.
Mm-hmm. Keep dancing, girlfriend. Keep dancing. Yeah, I know that song. You know, yes, indeed. So I just want to let people know once again, my book is available on Amazon.com, Godshot.
Mm-hmm.
And my next book I'll start working on in September. And and it'll be a continuation of what I've started. And we'll see where it goes. I've also got a book of my experience as a teacher that I'm working on. And, yeah, so, and looking to put a YouTube channel together this summer and a podcast to explore more realities. Yeah.
Yes.
That I can bring. Yeah, so I'm working. This old man ain't through yet. Got some things to do.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a very
Amen.
Good thing. Now, you marched with Dr. King. What was that like?
Actually, I marched with Dr. King in Detroit. The Right Reverend C.L. Franklin, as you know, who
yes.
put together that march in April of May 1963, Over 125, 50,000 people participated in that march, and I was there also right before I came back to California. And and many did not notice, but Aretha and C.L. Franklin gave a lot to the civil rights movement back in those days, their time, money, and talent.
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't know that. They just thought Aretha sang songs. But Aretha Franklin was very committed to the civil rights movement and what Dr. King had espoused and what he was doing, and also Reverend C.L. Franklin, you know.
Yeah, because of her father. Her father was very close with Dr. King, correct?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So they contributed to Dr. King and gave money and time and talent, like I said. So
yeah.
And a lot of people don't really know that. I know people have seen the Aretha Franklin story, so it came out then, but
yeah.
You know, this she has always been committed to making a difference for our people. Yeah. In a quiet way. She didn't have to have a whole lot of publicity to do what she did. She just did what she did. Yeah. That's important to know.
Yeah, that is. That's very important to know. And that you know, your uncle did, which I just love, he did a poem, "I Love Being Black."
Oh, that was amazing.
Wasn't it? I love that. I truly just love that.
Yeah, that was an amazing piece that he did. And Def Jam Poetry put it out there. And it was just amazing. And he redid it. I think he put it back out last year again. It came back out. Yeah, and I circulated it. But
Yeah, and I play it on the show every so often, but I just love that.
Oh, okay.
Never heard it.
Yes.
You haven't heard it?
Yeah. You
I've
haven't heard
it? No.
Okay, well, I'm going to play that. Give me a minute, and I'm going to pull that up. But, because I love Smokey's voice. He has a beautiful voice. But, it's just some things that just, or more, I don't know what's the word for it, but that's just one that stands out, is "I Love Being Black."
That's an amazing poem that he wrote. Well, Smoke, he's a writer.
That.
You know,
I didn't know he wrote it.
Yeah, 4,000 songs he's published.
Yeah.
So that's just one more in his repertoire of things that he does. I have another book here that he did of poetry, and a book of poetry that Smoke did, and it's an amazing account also.
Oh, I bet it is. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised that he's a poetry writer, since he's a songwriter.
Bob Dylan calling the number one poet of the 20th century.
Oh, wow. To get his book on poetry, I know that has to be amazing.
Yeah, it's an amazing book. It's an amazing book that he did, yeah. He showcased it, and it turned out to be really good.
And his ex-wife, Paulette, is also an author.
Yeah, she finished her first book a year or so ago, too.
Yes, and she did a children's book.
Yeah. That's correct. About the miracles. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Without any further ado, I'm going to play "Being Black" by Smokey Robinson.
All right.
And this is Smokey Robinson's nephew, y'all. This is Roland Bynum, Smokey Robinson's nephew. And Stevie Wonder's brother.
Okay.
Here we go.
Just got that in a minute.
I love being black. I love being called black. I love being an American. I love being a black American. But as a black man in this country, I think it's a shame that every few years we get a change of name. Since those first ships arrived here from Africa that came across the sea, there were already black men in this country who were free. And as for those who came over on those terrible boats, they were called nigger and slave and told what to do and how to behave. And then Master started tripping, doing his midnight tipping, down to the slave shacks where he forced he and great-great-grandma to be together. And the great-great-grandpa protested, he got tarred and feathered. And at the same time, the black men in the country who were free were mating with the tribes like the Apache and the Cherokee. And as a result of all that, we're a parade of every shade. And in this late day and age, you can be sure there ain't too many of us in this country whose bloodline is pure. But according to a geological geographical genealogy study published in Time magazine, the black African people were the first on the scene. So for what it's worth, the black African people were the first on Earth, and through migration, our characteristics started to change and rearrange to adapt to whatever climate we migrated to. And that's how I became me, and you became you. So if we're going to go back, let's go all the way back. And if Adam was black and Eve was black, then that kind of makes it a natural fact that everybody in America is an African American. Everybody in Europe is an African European. Everybody in the Orient is an African Asian, and so on and so on. That is, if the origin of man is what we're going to go on. And if one drop of black blood makes you black like they say, then everybody's black anyway. So quit trying to change my identity. I'm already who I was meant to be. I'm a black American born and raised. And Brother James Brown wrote a wonderful phrase. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. Because I'm proud to be black. And I ain't never lived in Africa. And because my great-great-granddaddy on my daddy's side did, don't mean I want to go back. Now, I have nothing against Africa. It's where some of the most beautiful places and people in the world are found. But I've been blessed to go a lot of places in this world. And if you ask me where I choose to live, I pick America, hands down. Now, by and by, we were called Negroes. And after a while, that name was banished. Anyway, Negro is just how you say black in Spanish. Then we were called colored. But shit, everybody's one color or another, and I think it's a shame that we hold that against each other. And it seems like we reverted back to a time when being called black was an insult, even if it was another black man who said that a fight would result, because we've been so brainwashed that black was wrong till even the yellow niggas and the black niggas couldn't get along. But then came the 1960s. When we struggled and died to be called equal and black, and we walked with pride with our heads held high and our shoulders pushed back. And black was beautiful. But I guess that wasn't good enough. Because now I had to come with some other stuff. Who comes up with this shit anyway? Was it one or a group of niggas just sitting around one day? Feeling a little insecure again about being called black and decided that African-American sounded a little more exotic. Well, I think you were being a little more neurotic. It's that same mentality that got Amos and Andy put off the air because they were embarrassed about the way the characters spoke. And as a result of that action, a lot of wonderful black actors ended up broke. When we were just laughing and having fun about ourselves. So I say, fuck you if you can't take a joke. You didn't see the Beverly Hillbillies being protested by white folks. And if you think, that of course you think, that being called African American sets all black people's minds at ease, since we affectionately call each other nigger, I affectionately say to you, nigger, please. How come I didn't get a chance to vote on who I'd like to be? Who gave you the right to make that decision for me? I ain't under your rule or in your dominion, and I'm entitled to my own opinion. Now, there are some African Americans here. But they recently moved here from places like Kenya, Ethiopia, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Zaire. But not a brother whose family's lived in this country for generations, occupying space in all the locations, New York, Miami, L.A., Detroit, Chicago, even if he's wearing a dashiki and sporting an afro. And if you go to Africa in search of your race, you'll find out quick you're not an African American. You're just a black American in Africa taking up space. Why you keep trying to attach yourself to a continent where even if you got the chance to go and you went, most people there wouldn't even claim you as one of them, as a purebred daughter or son of them. Your heritage is right here now, no matter what you call yourself or what you say. And a lot of people died to make it that way. And if you think America's the leader on inequality and suffering and grieving, how come there's so many people coming and so few leaving? Rather than all this fine thought with America shit you promoting, if you want to change something, use your privilege. Get to the polls. Come and support me. God knows we've earned the right to be called American Americans and be free at last. And rather than you moving forward with progress, you're dwelling in the past. We struggled too long. We've come too far. And so the folks that know who we were, let's be proud of who we are. We're the only people whose name is always a trend. When is this shit going to end? Look at all the different colors of our skin. Black is not our color, it's our core. It's what we've been living and fighting and dying for. But if you choose to be called African American and that's your preference, then I give you that reference. But I know on this issue I don't stand alone on my own. And if I do, then let me be me. And I'd appreciate it if when you see me, you say, there goes a man who says it loud. I'm black. I'm black. I'm a black American, and I'm proud because I love being an American. And I love being black. I love being called black. Yeah, I said it, and I don't take it back.
All right, let's get it. That I just love. I really just love that.
Yep. You heard it, Kim.
Yes, you did, Miss Kim.
Yeah. Yeah, he did that several years ago.
Yeah.
She's not in clear yet.
No, you're not. Miss Kim, you're not clear.
Oh, yeah, because I put it on the speaker to hear it. I've never heard that. I say he gets I give him a little another little star for that. Well, I don't mean another little star. He's my brother to you all, so I can say this. You can say it like I'm saying. So I can be mad at him if I want, and then I can give him a star if I want. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I appreciate hearing that. I've never heard that. You know, he's saying everything I just said. Just about.
Yes. Yes, he is.
And I never knew, you know. But, and nobody put their hand up?
No, everyone's just listening. Y'all, again, if you have a question or a comment for Miss Kim or for Brother Roland, just press the number one and we'll be happy to let you in so you can ask your questions or give your comments.
Maybe ain't nobody out there. Is anybody out there?
Yes, there you are, Miss Kim. Everybody,
I want Roland to meet you all. Don't have me bragging on you and then you don't show up. She's a Democrat.
You want them to call so they can,
I want them to say hello to him. And where's all that stuff y'all be saying before he got here? I don't care if he's a school teacher. He's still one of my honeys. One of my sugar babies. You ever heard that?
You sound like, hey, Kim, yeah, you sound like Danny Bradford.
Well, you know that's my sister. I've been trying to get Janie on the show, too. Janie's the one that I be talking about internet that wrote money. And that's her personality, too. Your love give me sugar, but your love don't pay my bills.
I recently did a thing at our radio station where we featured Motown for a week, and I had Smokey. I had let me tell you who I had. I had the women of Motown. I didn't have Kim because I hadn't been in touch with her, but I had Sherry Payne. I had Janie Bradford. I had Claudette Robinson. Sherry Payne, former Supreme. Don't Leave Me This Way, Thelma Houston. I was trying to get Iris Gordy, and I interviewed them about Motown because the ladies of Motown, and about how Berry Gordy was probably the first corporate leader to integrate women into his staff, far before any of the major corporations in America. And that was and I know, Kim, you know that for a fact, that Berry employed women in major positions in his company in Motown long before.
Most
companies in
this
country did it.
I said his sisters were vice presidents, right? I said his sisters were vice presidents.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the fact of the matter is that when you, like we started off, when you look at Motown and what Berry did and who he brought into his company, it was just most companies in America weren't even doing what he had done with women. And so we talked about that facet. Also, I interviewed Nikki Stevens, Smokey, Brenda Holloway. We just had a wonderful time, and we featured it on our radio station, KJLH
102.3. I said, y'all just did that with folks out there in California. I see what you mean.
Well, actually, you can hear it on the internet. We're worldwide at KJLHradio.com. So it was a worldwide production. you know, was heard all over the world. And and just not L.A. Yeah, I was heard on that internet station.
No, I'm talking about the ladies that you had on there. I'm just fussing at you, Roland.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
As you said, we were not in touch, but we're in touch now, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. But incidentally, I have a show that I did that's a tribute to Stevie, to the genius of Stevie Wonder that I need you to hear and tell me what you think I should do with it. I'll tell you this, I was on another station, and the man played it every Sunday for 2 years, and at the end of that 2 years, there were over 20,000 listeners on a regular basis. So there's something. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot that we can do if we work together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If we work together, there's
nothing
we can do. As a matter of fact, we won't be stopped. Can't be stopped. And that's what the problem is. The people saying, and what we're able to do, like God is, well, they can't stop it. You know, that's the devil's job. They keep trying to block us. You know what I'm saying? But once they realize, with the love of God, we're not going to treat them like they treated us.
Yeah.
I don't believe we will, because we're not that kind of people. We got some.
Yeah,
we're trying to be like
them.
But the majority
right.
of us have love in our hearts. The majority of us have love. Everybody got it. They just don't use it.
Yeah. That is true.
Anyway. Roland, there's another side of your situation that I don't want to push you if you don't want to deal with it. But like in the beginning, like I said, I didn't get a chance to read the book because Brenda brought it to me last night, but it was late when she brought it in. I haven't had a chance. I ain't going to make no excuses. I plan to read it, but the little bit that I did read says that you started the book where you started it. Did you share that? Hello?
What happened?
Hello, am I gone? Yes.
No. My call dropped.
Oh.
Which is unusual.
Okay.
Okay, is Roland still with us? Brother Roland still with us? Probably when I dropped, he dropped too. Okay, Ms. Kim, talk for a minute. Let me get him back in with us.
Oh, okay. Do you know what I was saying? I mean, was I heard then? So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I thought I did all that talking, and I was on mute. Anyway, and ain't nobody put their hand up. I'm going to get y'all when y'all do come back, okay? So she say that you're there. I want to know what you got to say. That might be, okay, no, you don't have no question.
I said, which is really unusual.
Well,
you
we're
know
still
that's
here,
still
praise
here.
God.
Huh?
I was saying that you're still here. But, Brother Roland, while you're on, I want to ask you about James Brown. Because
talk
my
to me.
Wednesday night co-host, he loves James Brown, Funkadelic, you know, Bootsy. Not Bootsy, George. Oh, boy. I want to say George Colin and George Clinton. So now, when James Brown was saying everything is on the one, you know what he was talking about with his style and everything?
Yes. When in the movie, and when you look at the movie, James Brown, Chadwick, right?
Yes.
James explained, he changed the funk in music. He took it off the four and put the beat on the one. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. But James went 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. He put it on the one. He moved it from the four to the one beat. And so what happened is that the musicians were saying, "What are you doing, James?" James told him, "Shut up. Do what I'm telling you." And I have a vision. And that's exactly what happened. Can I tell you that when I was in the Marine Corps, mm-hmm. I used to go to a venue called, it's similar to the Great Stone Ballroom in Detroit, called the 5-4 Ballroom in Los Angeles on 54th and Broadway. And all of the great entertainers used to come and perform there, like they back in the day at $1.50 or whatever. And James Brown was performing. And I had never seen James Brown, heard him, "Please, Please, Please, Try Me," those early hits. Well, we're in the Marine Corps, and James Brown, and this is in my book, I talk about how the first time I saw him, he pulled up in a Cadillac. He got out of the Cadillac in his short jacket suit that he had on, pumped his hair, had no entourage, and walked up the stairs. Well, this venue had no back door. One way up, one way down.
Oh, wow.
And so when he performed for 2 hours, I was so mesmerized. I had never seen anything like it. I had never seen any entertainer like him. And James, I mean, oh, my gosh. And from that moment on, I never realized that I would get a chance to meet him and know him extremely well a few years later when I became a disc jockey.
Yeah.
But he changed the beat. He changed it from 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4 to the 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. He put it on the first beat. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what they're talking about. Yeah. The funk on the one.
All right. Do you see any of the artists today that is like him, or did you see where they use, where they're on the one?
No. I like Drake. I'm going to tell you, I like Drake. I think, and he's just been voted the decade artist of the last 10 years. I like him. I think he's very creative. I like his voice. I like his style. Just some things that he's done that I like, but there's no comparison to the music then and now. There's just no comparison. It's a whole different genre of music, and I say today, I'm talking about my radio station and many. There are too many booty call songs.
Yes,
I think the raw hip hop. Rap music, I think it's detrimental. It's softer, but there are a lot of booty call songs. And I think we as a people have more to talk about and sing about than booty calls.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
There's so many booty calls. And your Uncle Smokey said, and listen to me carefully.
Okay.
Uncle Smokey said, try to figure out how many ways that you can tell somebody you love them. Now, booty calls ain't a love song.
No, it's not.
Nope.
No, it's not.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Smokey said, the goal as a songwriter is to try to figure out how many different ways can you say I love you. The love I saw in you was just a mirage, more love. I mean, when you think of Smokey's songs and how he produced them, what he wrote, they weren't booty call songs.
No, they weren't. No, they were not.
You're Lionel Richie. Not booty call songs.
Yeah.
You know.
But
when you look at the writers and the music. Yeah.
I was just going to say, but you also had an FCC. When we left Motown, our first song and Victory Records was, "That's a Funky Way to Keep Somebody." They wouldn't let them play it on air.
We couldn't say it. Jim Randolph told us if we use the word Jim Brown told Jim Randolph, my program director, told me in the 60s, let me tell you what happened. James Brown is the one who gave us freedom. We could not say the word funky on KGFJ on the radio. He said, if you use that word, you would be fired. It wasn't until James Brown released the song Make It Funky Now that we were able to say it. It was James Brown that gave us the freedom to say the word funky. How about that?
But I was talking about the FCC. Ain't no FCC, is it? So what are they doing?
Well, for one thing, there are too many ways now that you can get your music. Spotify, NFI, YouTube, HipTube, Facecrack, Instagram. I mean, and they don't control that. They only control the airwaves. They do not control. They do not control YouTube. They do not control Spotify. They do not control all of the streaming services. They ain't got nothing to do with that. And so that music is released from those different venues, those different outlets. That's why they're able to get away with it.
Yes, well, I know we've heard a lot, and we have talked some on how they changed the frequency. And we have a brother that comes on that always talks about the frequency of, you know, the music and what you need to listen to and things like that. And Ms. Kim, I know you have spoken on, you know, how they changed the frequency in the music.
I'd like to hear what you got to say about that.
What do you mean frequency? Explain frequency, because that could mean two things. What are you talking about? Is he talking about the sound, the way it's made, or how often it's played?
One thing with the sound and with the electronics as well.
Yes.
They're not playing music any more rotational than they did when I was doing so-called top 40 radio, you know.
No, but the frequency, you know how now it's a sound that gets you on edge. You know, it can do a
bad
to you.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. I can't speak on that.
Yeah, we have a brother that knows about it. But, Ms. Kim, if you care to elaborate on that, if you would,
I can't do it right this second. I'm just out.
Okay.
I just had a little back.
Ladies, I got to give you 5 minutes because I'm going to go to bed. I got to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do my radio show.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well,
I go to bed early. I go to bed early on Friday because I'm up at 3 o'clock. To be at the radio station and be on the air at 5 o'clock. So my Fridays are very important. I don't do anything. I'm able to do this, but I get my rest.
Yes, well, that's important.
At my tender age, I respect the fact that I don't like being sleepy, so I do something about it. I go to bed.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
And where are you broadcasting this morning?
Beg your pardon? I didn't hear you.
Where are you broadcasting?
Radio station KJLHradio.com on the internet or on your phone. 102.3.
Okay.
KJLH. If you put in KJLH on the internet, kindness, joy, love, and happiness. And it's 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock your time.
Okay.
Now, my first hour, I do spiritual inspirational music.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily gospel, but spiritual inspirational for my first hour.
Oh, okay.
So at 7 o'clock, I do my features. Tomorrow, last week I did Marvin Gaye's What's Going On album and songs from 50 years ago, 1971, because the song came out May 21st, 19, the album, let me say this. The album came out May 21st, 1971. The song, Bonnie Ailes released it January the 20th, 1971, my 30th birthday. What's Going On was released.
Mm.
It was released on my birthday and sold over 100,000 copies in a week. And Barry Gordy found out, rushed Marvin to his house and said, man, when can you get this album done? Much as he fought it.
Yeah.
That I needed done by before May, and he did it. So that's the story. So that's what I do. I do features on my radio show. Tomorrow I'm doing 25 years of Memorial Day hits, one year after another. Yeah, all Memorial Day hits, 25 years.
Oh, wow.
So every week is a different show, a different genre, but the same music, but how do you prepare it?
Oh, wow. Well, that sounds really interesting. I'm going to check that out. I will be listening.
Well, great. Okay, great.
Yes, because I pulled it up already and everything, so I will be listening.
Praise God. Thank you so much. Thank you for this invitation to come and be a part of this wonderful adventure. And Kim, thank you for inviting me in, and Antoinette equally as well.
Oh, thank you. We truly enjoyed you. I'm sorry that my audience is the audience is silent, and I guess everyone is seeing you.
It's Memorial Day weekend Friday, so you got to realize that many people are on the move, trying to do different things, and so it's not your regular type of Friday. Yeah.
But listen, that's true.
They are there because their lines are lit up. But all I got to say is, don't y'all be asking me nothing about him because y'all wouldn't ask him while he was here. Okay? Thank you, darling.
Sweet.
Please come back. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. Okay. Thank you, Antoinette. I love you guys.
Well, thank you.
God bless you so much.
And we love you as well.
Okay. Goodbye, Gnome.
Bye. Have a good evening.
You too, love. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, Miss Kim, that was fantastic. He's a very interesting man.
I learned a lot. I learned a lot.
Too. I did, too. You know, just to think he lived on the same street as Malcolm X, you know, they were on the same street. That's really something.
Okay. Well, Internet. I thank you so much for featuring Roland, and we'll see what we can come up with again. Would you say that he belongs with the calls?
Yes, I do. You know I do. I thought he was very fascinating.
Okay.
He was fascinating.
Okay, darling.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Many I called, but didn't nobody call tonight?
No, and they're here, but everyone's just listening. And I'm surprised.
Play some music. Maybe they'll call in and talk to you, because I'm going to lay me down. This has been a day. I can't tell y'all about this day. I had somebody ring something neck. If I had a chicken, I'd ring his neck.
Oh, my. Did you do that, Miss Kim? Did you go out and catch the chickens and wring their necks and then skin them and everything?
No. I was born in Detroit City. Detroit City.
Okay.
I'm a city girl.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you did tell me that. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Do people in the city have chickens?
I never did it, but I know my grandmother did. But I went to Alabama. My people live 25 miles east of Selma. So all of that, I'm familiar with Highway 5.
Yes. Miss Kim, we do have a caller now. They have their hand up. So before you go.
I ain't saying nothing else. I'm listening.
Wait a minute, Miss Kim. Area code 708.
Greetings, family. Sister Antoinette, Miss Kim. Better love. How's everybody doing?
I brought up James Brown for you about the one, and you didn't.
No, I had the phone on, but I've been cooking, running back and forth in the kitchen, so I wasn't hearing everything because I didn't take the phone with me. It was in my bedroom, and I was in the kitchen running back and forth, so I didn't want to say nothing that I didn't really hear all of it on and say something that sounded stupid. So I preferred to just listen. So the only comment that I did come in on that I got ready to say something, but the brother was getting ready to leave, was when you brought up the different frequencies that you didn't know how to exactly break down, which all you had to do was just bring in the hertz, dealing with 44 hertz. So it's the hertz, how the music is played, and the frequency that it's played on now, the 44 hertz or the 404 hertz, however you want to pronounce it, is the frequency of chaos. And this is why we see so much craziness right now, even being sung in the lyrics of the music. The lyrics aren't even like they used to be anymore. Ms. Kim can contest to that, you know. So it's again, the vibration dealing with the frequency that they now put in the music now, is adding to the crazy and lunacy. So that's all I would have added to the mix tonight because, it was little parts that I heard about him and Smokey and the book that he wrote, you know, and he didn't know his family connection. So, that's a great story.
Yeah. Did you hear when he talks about how James Brown was on the one?
I would have definitely pushed the one in because that was probably the time I was in there getting my food together. So, no, I missed that little part there.
Yeah, because he explained it. Miss Kim, can you explain that? Because I know he said it was 1, 2, 3, 4, but instead of it being on the
I'll explain it only if he tells me what he was cooking. Brother Eddie, God bless.
No, I would have jumped in because I actually know what the one is. I put that in my first book, Take the Chain Off Your Brain, because my tribute then to Parliament was through James Brown. It was because of Parliament that James Brown gave them, not gave them per se, but they took the one from James Brown because James Brown played on the first and the third clef to his music. That's why he always said it's on the one. He had that hard syncopated beat on the one count. And the next count would be three. So I fell in love because it's the one and the three instead of the two and the four heartbeat. So Bootsy taught George Clinton the one, being James' bass player, because James made sure that Bootsy knew and felt the one when he played the bass. So he, in turn, taught George the one, and as soon as George got it, guess what? He changed the name from Funkadelic to Parliament. And I made some fried rice, fried chicken rice with green peppers and onions, with some fried fish, and a tossed salmon.
That was worth it. And thank you, because I learned something right then. You see that? And I learned something right then.
Oh, yeah.
All I know is church in no time.
Oh, yeah. But James was, like I said, that's why all his music, if you go back and listen to James' music, nobody else's music sound like James unless they was trying to imitate his track. James' music sound like his, nobody else's. And then when George got that sound and came up with the funk, that's why all the music of Parliament sounded like. It's a different beat, but you can tell when you hear Parliament, Bootsy, you know that one sound that they brought. So, yeah.
Well, now that's interesting because he put the funk on the one.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right. But the average white audience, they clap on the one, but they don't have the funk.
No. They don't have that rhythm, that natural rhythm that we have. They have practice until they get it.
But I'm
That's
just saying we can we can naturally switch from the two to the one.
Oh yes.
That's natural for them.
That's it. It's natural for us. That's why when we used to look at American Bandstand before they had Soul Train and we saw them white people dance, we was like, what in the heck are they listening to? They all off beat. They all off rhythm. What are they hearing? Come on, Miss Kim, you remember that? You know, Bandstand, yeah. But that was like, what are they? What? They ain't even on the rhythm. I'm like, okay.
When they first started, when they first started, it was hard.
Oh yeah.
Okay, now listen to me, and I'm not white, and I don't have no rhythm. So what happened to me?
Well, see, you got to understand, you do got rhythm. Can you walk? When you're walking, you're walking in rhythm. Walking ain't nothing but a dance, baby. See? You ain't got to dance like everybody else. If you walking, baby, that's dancing. That's why it's the same number. But I'm not getting into the number that ain't our show. But again, that's why you walking in rhythm. That's why you dance in rhythm. The walking is just like dancing, baby. That's all.
When you move
just
to
put
your own pace
and a beat to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
move
hey, you dance.
That's the rhythm of life, baby. You move
That's
to
it.
Your own pace.
That's it.
Okay,
That's
well, my
Black
pace
Birds,
has no...
Blackbirds made the song, Walking in Rhythm, Moving in Style. That's it.
Yeah.
Walking in Rhythm. It's your rhythm. It's your dance. Walk in it and be proud. Don't tell nobody you can't dance. As long as you can walk, I can dance. And if you sit down, you can still dance. They call it chair dancing.
Yeah.
Since you brought up the Blackbirds, that song live in Detroit, Orchestra Hall, and there was a tribute to Donald Byrd.
Oh, yeah.
That night.
Oh, yeah. That was their teacher. Donald Byrd and the Blackbirds, they started off, and then they broke off by themselves. But, yeah, I was deep into music back in the day. Because I hung around with part of the Ohio Players, Roger Trapman and Zapp in Ohio back in 75, 76. I was actually a roadie for the Ohio Players for a minute. And it was only because of my cousin happened to be a studio drummer, and he knew all of the different groups in Ohio, Bootsy and all of them. Never got a chance to formally meet Bootsy, but I did meet Sack, Sugarfoot, and Merv from the Ohio Players and Roger Trapman from Zapp. So it was a gas back in the day in the 70s, so I had a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
I remember the Zapp band, but I don't remember what they made right now, but I do remember them, and I can see them. I can see their faces and everything, but I don't remember what
remember
they
sing. Who?
I remember the Zapp band.
Oh, the Gap band? You dropped
the
bomb on me.
Zapp.
No, more bounce to the ounce. You don't remember that? More bounce where he had a guitar that he made his guitar sound like he was singing.
Now, were they the ones that made Slade?
No, that was actually a group named Slade.
Okay, well, it's something I remember. I remember them, but I don't remember why I remember them.
But
I do
when
them.
I pull up a song from Zapp. When I do, I'll send it to you, and when you hear it, I'm quite sure you'll recognize some of their music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's what I said, I remember them. But that's what I said, well, I don't know why I remember them, but I remember them. I remember their name, but I just can't remember what it was that they made.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Eddie, you know Oscar Brown Jr.?
Yeah, I don't know him personally, but I listen to a lot of Oscar Brown's music.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh yeah.
I had the opportunity to work with him and
okay.
Mhm.
Yeah. It's a lot of artists that I was introduced to back in the day in the 70s. By being around my cousin and his little band that they had for, I stayed during the 70s because I stayed in Cincinnati a lot from about 73 to about 77. What was that?
Is that the one that's in Japan now, Brother Eddie?
No, yeah, that was the one that was in Japan. He's back in Cincinnati. He's been back the last 2 years now. Remember that?
Oh, wow.
My auntie that I told you that was sick and
yes.
Cincinnati, that's his mother.
Oh,
so
wow.
He came back, yeah. So since she's been sick and everything, and he came back. So he's been back now actually for 2 years, for about going on 2 years.
Wow, I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah, yeah. Time flies. Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Wow, I didn't realize it's been that long since we did that. So Miss Kim, he called in from Japan, and to a guy that we had here. Greg. His name was Greg something. Played
playing the album.
Kern Bradley.
Yeah, him. But he called in on the show where Greg was. His name is Greg something. He's a Motown artist too.
On your treatment plan. New patients get a complete
exam
and x-ray free
without
insurance.
Somebody has some interference. Okay, it's gone.
Okay, Sister Antoinette, see if you can hear this.
Okay. Ah, yes, that's it.
Yeah, that's that band.
Yep, I remember that.
Yep. More bounce to the ounce. That was
as soon as it came on, I remembered it.
Right. So yeah, that was Roger Trapman and Zapp, one of their famous out of the ones that they made that everybody got into.
Yes, I like that. I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
see, that was good. So what happened in the 2000s?
As far as
people just went crazy and made crazy music and everything.
Oh, that's basically when what we call, we used to call real rap and hip hop turned into, excuse me, Ms. Kim, shit hop.
Mm-hmm.
And so-called gangster rap nonsense. Mm-hmm. So that's when everything actually changed. So no, and again, it's people selling out just for money, because again, we all know that a lot of this music today is garbage, but they promote it because what does it do? It plants a negative seed in the youth's head, and a lot of youth that don't have any morals start to follow this garbage. Start to repeat it and say it, and then their minds become cluttered with entertaining garbage that's coming out of their mind. And then they start thinking about, damn, I'm singing about this, or it gives them thoughts that they would never have of doing something stupid.
Yeah.
Because when you listen to the music or the lyrics, a lot of the lyrics are vulgar, nasty, and stupid.
Yes,
you know?
They are.
You have something that are good, but no. I mean, that's, again, we don't need an entire record if you're giving information and the majority of it is profanity within the information. Then keep your information. I don't need to hear the garbage. If you give me information, I don't need to hear the trash with it.
Yeah, that's so true.
This is what they push. This is what they push. Because, again, when you hear a song with lyrics that are godly, of love, of togetherness and getting together, it's not played. You got to go to alternative sources like underground music and all this other place just to hear something that sounds decent and got a good beat and a good message.
Yeah.
But everything that they want to bring out in the forefront is just nasty. You know, so they're pushing this purposely.
Yeah. And, you know, and thank God for the artists that, you know, these new artists now that they're not going to the mainstream, you know, for their music or anything. You know, they're doing everything live streaming. You know, that way they're cutting out the middleman and, you know, I guess still being their own boss. So I guess that's the reason why I love Payday, because Payday Monsanto, he still does it his way. You know, and he says
that's
what he wants to say.
When you find that
and
way.
I have to give Payday a call and see if he won't come on. I know that, you know, he's had some problems here lately, but I have to see if we can't get him on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did Miss Kim leave?
No, she's here, Miss Kim.
Okay. I know she said she was going to be quiet for a minute. I didn't think she was going to drop back, but now I'm feeling like I took over. I just called in to just give that little tidbit on the frequency, and now it's we having I'm waiting to hear back from Miss Kim because it was y'all's show, and I'm just calling in to get some little nuts and nuggets from the guest that's on tonight. So, Miss Kim, you tired?
Well,
I heard you say you was getting ready.
You're the co-host, no matter. You're always the co-host.
I want to sit back and, like everybody else, take notes. You say people are on the line, they ain't saying nothing, so they taking notes or just listening.
Quiet.
So
everybody's just
I like to do that too. That's why I don't call in a lot of times. I sit back with my pen and paper and take notes. You know, that's it. Because again, like I said, I get so much from the callers from the different shows, from words that I very rarely, if ever, use. And as soon as I hear the word and put the number behind it, it becomes a part of me and a part of my story.
Yeah.
Or a part of my story as I give it with these numbers. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, his story was fascinating, though, Brother Eddie. Did you hear when he talked about that him and Malcolm X lived on the same street in Detroit?
See, I missed that, too. I missed that when you were talking about him and Malcolm X. Like I said, I heard the part about him and his wife, and she told him to go look up his people once they were going back in the car ride, and he ended up finding his mom's on May 10th. And finding his father and had 9 siblings, and then found out, you know, Smokey was a part of the family and this, that. I heard that part there. But like I said,
and
I was running
in and out. Him and Smokey were both in Detroit.
Yeah.
I said, him and Smokey were both in Detroit. Isn't that something, and not to know that that's your uncle?
Well, you got a lot of people right here, right where you are, similar predicament where they were adopted or whatever it might be, and they've lost track or never did have contact with their biological family. You know, I mean, we have people in this city, and their family's still here. Don't know them if they pass them in the street because they're grown now. Wouldn't know them from peanut butter or jelly, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Not only true, but dangerous, because you can end up dating or marrying a, you know, a relative, a close relative, because of family secrets.
Right. That's what we used to always talk about back down south, knowing all your relatives, because you didn't want to make that inbred mistake.
Yeah.
You know. So,
and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, y'all, you know what? I must have ate or did something different, because, man, I done started breaking out with mine.
No,
I'm gonna take some Benadryl in a minute. I'm trying to think of what it was that I could have did, and I don't have the slightest idea. Wow. So, Miss Kim, are you still here? See, Eddie, you asked you told her what you cooked, and now Miss Kim's gonna go and imitate it. She's gone. She's probably cooking.
Yeah, she said if I told her she would go ahead and break down the one for me. So, yeah, she done heard that, and she done went on, dropped back, and started to say, well, shoot, Eddie here, he'll keep her busy, he'll talk. So, yeah, she done went and threw her pot on. Shoot, I heard that.
I got them in the oven. I cooked some beef ribs while they're still cooking.
Okay. Yeah, we got some strange weather. And for the family members who are still listening, keep paying attention to your weather wherever you are. Wherever you are, pay attention. And if you haven't been paying attention as far as how the weather is changing and is not the way they're telling us, talking about this global warming, go back and just pull up the records of what the temperature was last year at different times and look at the temperatures. I mean, Monday of this week here in Chicago, we hit 91. Today, we hit 50. That's a 41, Dad, that's that five. A 41-degree drop. Come on now, we're in a full swing of spring, almost out of spring now, getting ready to go into June next week, which means we're getting ready to go into the summer months. And we got 50-degree days, and tonight's low is 35.
Oh, wow.
35, yes. I mean, I had to turn my heat back on.
Oh, so I never turned on my heat.
Yeah, I'm like, all this week, last week, it was beautiful. I'm like, oh, I'm going to save some heating bill. No. Woke up this morning, it was freezing, and it's getting colder again because, like I said, it's supposed to get down to 35 in the morning, by the morning.
Put extra blankets on the bed, Brother Eddie. That's all you need is extra blankets. Turn that heat off.
That's in the bed. I don't stay in the bed all day. I got to walk around and move and do this, that, and the other. The rest of the house is cold. My bed is nice. It's like summertime. I want to stretch out. I want to be in my shorts. I want to be in my flip-flops. I want to be, but you're right, if I get cold enough, I put on some sweat, so I'm just jiving. You're right.
Yeah.
If it gets cold enough and I don't want to turn that heat on, I'm going to put some extra clothes on.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but
it's hard to pull off.
But I'm still looking at this weather change, like I'm saying. See, because I've been pushing for the last, 3, 4, 5 years since I've been talking about this global warming nonsense, you know. And you see now, too, think about it. We don't hear nothing about global warming too much no more, do we?
I did this morning, they said. They said that this was global warming, and you know where they were talking about the weather, about how cold it was.
The weather. But this is what I'm saying. Every now and then, you'll hear global warming. It's not like they was pushing it before.
Oh,
it's
no,
like everything
it's nothing
has,
like that.
Everything has a season and a reason, and it's just like now the season is called what? COVID-19 coronavirus. So everything else, if you notice, is on the back burners. We don't hear about the flu. We don't hear about heart attacks. We don't hear about, diabetes, deaths, or no other deaths other than coronavirus. Everything else, cancer, we don't hear as much about. We hear, but not as much. AIDS, we ain't hearing much about AIDS other than the commercials
they push.
Now,
you don't hear about AIDS at all, do you?
Their drugs. Huh?
You don't hear about AIDS at all, but you know what? Look, that HIV virus, they were supposed to be put into the COVID. Remember they were saying that they seen strands of the HIV in there, and I'm like, so y'all put it in there.
Yeah, see, so again, we're not hearing about that. All we're hearing about now basically is the HIV drug commercials that they have on Truvada and this, that, and the other. And if you keep looking at that, you see that that's under suit right now because of all of the deaths and problems from the last 10 years that's been causing from people taking it. So, again, just like all of these, and this is what really gets me with our people, if we're not using common sense on this vaccine and one particular more than the other, I wouldn't take none of them, which I'm not, but for anybody to consider or even take Johnson & Johnson's vaccine, you might as well say, hey, I know wrote you off because you wrote yourself off. Because like I said, if they making a substance for baby called baby powder and talcum powder for women that is now giving them cancer.
Yep.
And they've been sued
for billions of dollars now, and you're going to turn around and take a vaccine that they were just using their drug and whatever they use in a powder for babies? And you think that they're not putting something in this vaccine that's going to kill your ass too? Oh, man, I'm like, we crazy. We are crazy. And then they tell you it's a one-shot vaccine. You don't need to get two shots with Johnson & Johnson. I was so good, you only need one. Yeah, we going to kill you with this one. We don't need two to kill you.
Look, and now they have the funeral insurance that, you know, you can get, not insurance, but where they'll pay for your funeral is up to $9,000 per person, regardless of your income level or anything. They'll
like
give you $9,000.
That's a setup. If people don't hear that and it don't raise red flags, they'll pay for your funeral. What? Well, shit ain't paid. But like I said, first, long story short, I can almost guarantee that 99.9% of the people who not took that vaccine ain't asked what's in it, ain't asked what are the side effects, ain't asked how much actual testing have they actually done. They've asked no questions whatsoever. Because if they ask just one, they would turn around and run away, not walk away.
But you know what's crazy about that now, though, Brother Eddie, is even in the commercials, they'll say how, you know, you're concerned about how much testing, and it's safe, you know, and yes, it's new, but it's safe, and you hear that in the commercials.
Yeah, they'll tell you, but see, that's a programming.
They tell you right
that they're telling people,
and people just
and
don't
again,
want to hear it.
People believe the hype. See, they buying in to the freedom, number one.
Yes.
But again, like I said, nobody is asking the pertinent questions before taking this. And then the biggest thing is they done let the public know that if anything happens, you can't sue them.
They're not liable.
So if anybody came in and say, well, if I get sick or if I die, are they liable? Would my family be able to sue if I die? Would I be able to sue if I get sick? Are they liable? They don't even ask that question. They just go in and take the day. And then here's the most important. Will this shot prevent me from getting the virus? No, it will not. There's no guarantee. They tell you that is not guaranteed.
You won't go into the hospital. They tell you won't go into the hospital. But then look at all the people that have had heart attacks after they've taken that vaccine.
Who said you won't go into the hospital?
That's what they said. You know, if you get the vaccine, then you won't have to go into the hospital and you won't die.
Okay, well, see, they ain't saying that here.
that's what they're saying here, though.
But like I said, regardless, ain't nobody asking the pertinent questions. They're not asking anything, you know?
But look, if I'm going to get a vaccine for it, then I shouldn't have to worry about testing. I thought the vaccine was supposed to prevent you from getting something.
Well, no, that's another misnomer.
I don't want to be around you. I know for people that, you know, like how they vaccinate the children for chickenpox. But when they get them vaccines, I stay away from them because they have that in their system. I never had chickenpox. Stay away from me because I don't want to catch it. You know, when you first get that stuff in you, that stuff is alive, and I don't want that stuff jumping on me.
I do not want chickenpox at this age.
I never had them, and y'all can keep that. I'm too old to get it now.
It is, I said, I just feel sorry for our people who have rushed in to get it. Like I said, we've always been at the back of the line. Well, all of a sudden, they want to push us to the head of the line. See, because, again, when I see the numbers that led the way with this, dealing with the 6 feet of separation, and remember when we were talking about this last year, who were the first group of people to get the shot?
Oh, isn't it us? It's always That was the rich white people.
Who was the first group of people to get the shot? See, we have short-term memories. That gets big. The old people, the elderly.
Oh, yeah, because they pushed it on the elderly. Yes,
what I'm saying. This was just last year. How do we forget so quickly? See, we forget. And that gets me. That's why we can't, if you don't know your history, and we don't even remember stuff from last year, the last 2 years. I can remember every damn show I did in the last 5 years. Everything I said, everything I talked about. And this is why I say I get texts from my family and different people texting me stuff we've talked about 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. And they texting me like this is new. So I'm like, no, really not. Listen. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is 6 feet of separation, six. Who did they go after first? The seniors. Why? Because senior comes to six, family. Let's keep it on the numbers. I'm not going all over. I'm just keeping it direct. 6 feet of separation.
Okay.
Why? You want the seniors. Why? Because the seniors, like the brother that you had on and Miss Kim Western, Mother A.D., Brother Quan, these are the seniors.
Yes.
Why? Because the seniors carry the knowledge. Knowledge is six. They carry our history. History is six.
Yes, they do.
That's the history I want to listen to when I'm sitting back taking notes listening to Miss Kim. That's the story I want to hear. See, that's why they want to kill the six. The seniors are first. They carry the lineage of the real history. All this other stuff is crap. It's bull.
Yeah.
And if the seniors aren't there
they
to tell us they're lying, that this is wrong, then we still believe in their program. That's why program is six.
Yeah.
We're in a program. And it's the seniors
that
help us out of the program by giving us the real history and knowledge. Six.
Yeah.
All of it's six. That's why they wanted to get rid of them first. And they got the ones they wanted because all of them last year are the ones by this year that took the vaccine. All the rest of them haven't. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
But they got the majority of them because they were the ones that they really panicked and may feel like you're the vulnerable ones. The senior citizen buildings closed down. All the nursing homes closed down. All the facilities where you had these care, you couldn't even go in and visit your own family and stuff like, you know. But that's all over now.
Which made it worse. Yeah.
It's all over because guess what? We almost vaccinated half of the damn world's population.
Yeah. But you know what I'm still curious about?
The population has been vaccinated. I was listening to their counts here in Illinois. 64% of Illinoisans have been vaccinated. 48% has gotten both doses. So almost half of the population of Illinois has been fully vaccinated.
Yeah, I know. They said Delaware, I think,
about
it's like 40%. Delaware, I think it's like 40%. You know, so they still haven't got the 70% that they're pushing for. But I think they basically know that they're not going to get it. But you know what I want to know, I mean, which I guess we'll never know, but what I'm still curious about is how did they get Paul Mooney to take a vaccine? And they said that he said he was taking it to show the change. That's, you know, that man disclosed everything. You know, he talked about everything. You know, constantly about what was going on in the government and everything else. How was he tricked into getting the vaccine?
Because he's old, 79, getting senile, not to talk about the brother.
That's right.
But come on, y'all.
Dementia.
When you get old, you start your mind startling. And if you ain't got family that's your actual advocates or you got stupid family members who take the shot and took the shot, and they egg you into getting it, we don't know the circumstances. His family might have told him, come
get this.
Yeah,
I forgot. You know, it just slipped my memory that he had dementia, so he probably didn't have, somebody else made that decision.
This is what I'm saying, see? So, again, when we hear things like that, it ain't no reason for us to jump off the battle or the cliff hollering, I don't see why, you'll never see. We weren't there. It's too much energy.
That's true. We weren't there.
to yes, even try to think what happened. He took it. He dead. He gone.
Yeah.
We got to carry on, pick that torch up where he left off with the information he was given.
That's
it. He left a litany, like you said, of information. Use that.
Yes, he did.
See, these are the things we got to do when we wasting our time scrambling around talking about stuff we can't do shit about. We can't do nothing about who made Paul Mooney, if he did it, it's done, it's over with, he dead. What did he leave us to use? That's what we got to keep focus on, because we waste too much time talking about everything else instead of things that are useful and helpful to fix the problem that we in, to have a solution and an answer. We keep saying, how should people that done died like Paul Mooney, that done left stuff, we won't go back and use it?
Alan, I'm reading his book now. It's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, White is the New Black or something like that. Black is the New White. Something is very, it's very good.
Yeah, but see, that's the things. We got stuff out here. Like I said, we got books up the yin-yang. Give these books and read them before they burn them. See, because stuff on the computer, on iPads, can be changed in a heartbeat at a drop of a button.
Yes, it can.
But you can't change a book.
No, you can't.
So that old adage, let's pick up a book, because they used to say if you want to hide something from a black man, put it in a book.
Put it in
a book. I don't believe that no more, because there's too many black people I know love to read now, especially men.
Yeah.
At least the men that I keep company with. I can't speak for all black men. I get discouraged looking at my young black men, my soldiers, with their pants still swinging down on their ass and want to say that's a damn style or ain't got no belt. I'm like, you ain't got a belt, man. Get a belt. Don't use that damn excuse to me. I'm not the one.
I can't understand them where they would have the belt, but they would have the belt hanging around their behind where they're passing.
Like I said, it's one of the stupidest things in the world, and I used to always challenge when I was a little bit younger and was still into my kicking butt age about 10 years ago. You know, I would challenge these young boys. I'm like, man, y'all know y'all look stupid. And I said, have y'all ever thought about if you get in a fight or if you got to get away, you got to run pulling up your pants, so you got to pull up your pants before you throw a punch. Your pants all the way around your thighs, you walking like a damn cowboy because your pants falling down. And you done got used to it, and your mannerisms and walks are like that. I'm like, damn, dog, what? Woo, yo, man. I said, I wish I was y'all age because I mess y'all up. I'd knock your ass down knowing you can't beat me because you can't run with your pants down. Better yet, I come
definitely
in the face and pull your pants on down, which means you got to take time to pull them up, and I'm going to knock your ass. Ooh, I would tell them all type of things to make them think about how they can get messed up in the street by an ignorant or crazy person like myself when I was back in the day in my 30s and 20s.
Yeah.
When I ran the street, if I saw some people like that, they were easy preys. I don't care if you thought you was in a gang. You was an easy prey.
Mm.
Anybody walking with their pants down, and the first thing you got to do before you do anything is to pull your pants up. I'm going to knock your ass out. Because when your hand go down, I'm going to drop you. That's stupid. You can't run without pulling up your pants, even if you did something stupid. You got to pull your pants up.
But you know what I hate to see now is females that do it. I can't stand that. I see so many little young girls where they're walking with their pants hanging down. Like, what in the world is wrong with you?
Again, imitating and mimicking these young, silly, individual males.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
Yes, I've seen these females trying to dress and act like the males, but that goes back to the LGBTQ paradigm where you got all these females with so much testosterone, they want to be males, and so many males with estrogen, they want to be females.
Yeah.
This is where we're going, because every time I see a guy with his pants down and showing his drawers, I'm looking at you like, excuse me, family, you a bitch trying to show me your ass. That's what I look at. I don't want to see your drawers.
No. Look,
and
I'm not going to use where they used to call it the plumber's crack.
Yeah, where you see these.
You know, you see
where
the old men,
they
be working on cars or whatever. You see there behind.
You ain't got to bring that up. The image is there. It's embedded in my mind. It's burnt in my mind. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I used to hate that. And now you got your black, your black youth doing that stupid stuff.
Yeah.
It's like I said, it's insane. And I tell every young person that I see, can you tell me why? Oh, it's a style. Nigga, that means you ain't got no style? You a follower?
Yeah.
Duh. You following somebody else's shit? Duh.
Yeah. But
I put something on their mind when I talk to them. And especially these young ones that I know that, Mr. Harris, can you give me a ride? I see you getting ready to go. Can you get sure? Whoa, wait a minute. You can't get your ass in my car with your pants hanging down, bro. Uh-uh. Pull your damn pants up, or I'll see you later. And then when you get in the car, I'm going to give you a tongue lashing for even having your pants down, because I'm this way the way we used to do. When we did wrong things, we did it wrong, but it was never in the eye of the adults.
No, uh-uh.
If
you mentioned that.
Wrong, we made sure we wasn't in the presence of no adult. But you got these children now doing things, and they don't care who sees them. And then those of us who say we care, turn a deaf eye like we don't see it either and don't say nothing, just keep walking past. And
no,
then
well,
we try to figure
out
why is this going on? Why is it? Because now nobody wants to say anything.
Yeah.
Grown people are speaking to young people. I don't want to say nothing. They might shoot me. I don't want to say nothing. I don't know what's going to happen. Then don't talk about what you see happening in the street. When you pass shit that you can say something, when you see something wrong, that's why you see it wrong, so you can correct it. You don't wait for nobody else to correct it. You see this wrong. That's the problem. We all see things as wrong. We wait for everybody else to correct the problem we saw that was wrong. Why you think you saw it? It was for you to correct. And we still passed the buck. See,
With me, what I found, honestly and truly, Brother Eddie, and I guess because I say so many things to so many people, you know, the young people, is that even if they were going to cuss or anything, that, you know, one they cuss or, you know, attempt to cuss or whatever, and the other ones in the group would tell them, no, man, don't say that, don't say that, just misanthropy, just misanthropy, don't do that.
Yeah, you still got some of them that got respect, but most of them don't.
Yeah.
Because the parents never respected the child. Because they was doing all type of shit in front of the child.
Yeah.
Still do it today. I got to get out. If I go over somebody's house and they're doing stuff in front of their children, I don't care if it's smoking weed or what. No, I got to go. You tell your children to either leave, go in another room, or y'all going to go in the basement. Go in another room. Don't do this in front of your children.
People actually smoke that in front of their children?
Come on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you ain't been out. You ain't been out in a while. They've been doing this for the last 30 years. The last 30 years.
No. In front of their children so their children can get a contact and everything?
Come on now. They do coke to coke in front of their children, free base in front of their children, shoot up heroin in front of their children. Children have seen more than most adults see. See, and I didn't find that out until I was doing little volunteer work for these black organizations going into the elementary and high schools, mentoring the children, finding out from their mouths shit that they see every day, stuff they see every day that they live, their mama and daddy prostituting a little 12-year-old, and the teacher knows and don't say nothing.
Huh?
Damn it, when I went there, I went and spilled my damn guts.
Well, that's what
you're gonna sit there, and I'm giving a presentation, and I'm looking at this one little cute black little girl with her head down sleeping, and you know, so I'm not saying too much, but I finally said, well, is she gonna participate? And one little girl said, no, she be working all night. I said, what?
Working?
What do you mean working on? She be, they got a prostitute, yes.
Oh, my God.
They're making money off of their 12-year-old baby. And the teacher had knew this for over for the semester and didn't say nothing. And letting the girl come in and sleep every damn day. And ain't saying a word. After I told the damn principal, I called the damn police. I'm like, oh, hell no. Y'all sitting here and y'all know this is going on?
Yeah. I mean, that's not protecting the child. That's
come
not protecting her.
That's why I said schools are obsolete. If
yeah,
the parents actually knew what schools do or don't do in order to protect children, they wouldn't send their children to no darn school. Everybody's so apt for the schools to open back up. They don't know that this is the best thing in the world that could have happened for them and their babies. And they ready to send them back quick in a mug to get a shot.
Yeah, because they're looking at their pocketbook. And then having to actually parent their child. You know, people found out that they actually had to parent their child. They actually had to be parents and find out what it's like to truly be a mother.
To be a real parent. That's it.
Yes.
To be a parent 24/7. They finally found out, and a lot of them didn't like it.
No, they didn't.
That's why you had an abundance of all type of abuse happening during this pandemic. Because people now had to stay together, get together, and see and know one another, and they finally found out that they spouse, that they loved one, that they mama, they daddy, they children ain't what they were.
Yep.
Yeah. So it put people in a position to have
like
to deal with one another like we should have always been doing.
Yeah. Truly made a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
Truly would have.
But anyway, Sister Antoinette, it's almost 10:30, and I see Miss Kim now went on and turned in and made her dinner, and she now put the line down.
Miss Kim, if you got your phone on mute, could you take it off and mute and come back in and say hello to her? She's still here on the line.
Like I said, she got it put down. Like I had my phone. That don't make a difference. I had my phone on listening, but I was in the kitchen not hearing, but the phone was on, so she probably got her phone somewhere else, and she in the house doing something else.
We do have a caller. We do have a caller, Brother Eddie.
Okay.
302.
I'm sorry. That was a mistake.
It wasn't a mistake.
Y'all had a good conversation going on. You and Brother Eddie had a good conversation going on about these kids. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
So keep on keeping on. I'm listening.
Well, you can want to, you can add your 2 cents. This is my
go right ahead. I'm listening.
Okay. Who did you say that was, Internet?
This is my cousin.
Oh, hey, cuz. How you doing, cuz?
Hey, all right, brother. Any good?
All right.
Yeah. I appreciate the conversation. Very interesting.
Oh,
and true.
Man.
And true.
Oh, yeah, that's all we got to do. If we bring truth, we ain't got to worry about nothing else. Truth speaks for itself.
That's right. And you are right. This pandemic has really opened a lot of people's eyes because people had a year and some months to be together, and now they really rushing things right now to get back, so-called get back to normal. So I guess everybody had their time to, you know, sit back and reflect on how to deal with life again, you know, in a different way. So I'm just sitting back waiting to see how things are going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. So.
Yeah. But that's what we're going through. They now called it the Great Reset. And that's exactly what they did. This is a new reset of an old system. Like I said, again, if we don't know our history, we're bound to repeat it. We're repeating Jim Crow, and we're repeating what was called the Willie Lynch letter. How
you know another
your slave
you know another thing
divided. Go ahead.
You know another thing that's going to be interesting?
What's that?
That movie that LeBron James has produced.
It comes on Monday. About Black Wall Street.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know nothing about that. I didn't know anything about it.
It comes out on Monday.
Okay.
It comes out on Monday, and that reminds me, who would it be? Well, anyway, the Justice Department or whoever, they had sent out a warning that the white nationalist groups are saying there's going to be trouble on Memorial Day and the anniversary of the bombing of Black Wall Street, that they're going to be hitting targeted areas.
Yeah, but I thought that was
now,
just
they
told.
Know this, if they know this, then why aren't they still there protecting them areas now? If you're expecting all these, no, not just in Tulsa, but just in around the country.
So if you know this,
then they should be protecting them now. Pardon me?
I didn't know that. I thought it was just Tulsa.
Mm-mm. Nope, around the country.
Well, we'll see.
Well, I don't want to see. All them folks just go and stay in their little parts of the country and let them, you know, act up where they are.
Yeah, I didn't hear that one either about any white supremacist groups or militias or whatever it might be doing anything. So like I said, half of these things that are put out, again, it's a distraction,
one way or another.
It's a distraction, see? Because, again, we could talk about it all day after the talk. What in the hell can we do if they're going to do this and if it's planned? If we ain't got a plan to stop it, you know, what are we talking about? If we're not planning some type of alternative or a chess move to check them. See, so when they give us anything in the media, for me, it's a distraction. It's a distraction because it's just like the government. They ain't never going to tell us the truth because it's on a need-to-know basis. And for the government, they feel the public don't need to know shit. I've been in the government. I was in the military, so I know how they operate. Even within the military, the lower your rank, the lower information that you receive. You don't get the information that's at the top.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So it's just like we not being in the military, we ain't getting shit that the military getting. We getting propaganda.
Yeah,
they're not going to let us know what the military capability and what they're supposed to be doing if we ain't in the military. Say they're going to tell us what they want us to know and what. We going to react to it. I think it's called the Hegelian dialect. Problem, reaction, solution. It's the same thing they done did with this coronavirus. Gave us a problem because coronavirus has been out on the back of the Lysol can for over 30 years, family. So they knew about it, but as soon as they put it in our face, we start tripping. It's been in your face when you looked on the back of your Lysol can. But if you don't read what you're talking about, black men don't, if you want to put something, hide something, put it in the book, we didn't read. I was a label reading individual when I was coming up, so I read. But again, soon as they put something in our mind, we go crazy. Problem, they know our reaction, and damn, we gave them the reaction they wanted. Government, what y'all going to do? Open the schools. We got to get back to normalcy. What in the hell is normal? Normal to me ain't normal to you. See?
Yep.
Everybody's normal.
No,
it's different.
The biggest catch on,
so
brother,
Huh?
I said the biggest catch-all was the new normal.
Yeah, that's, I mean, all of it.
Remember
normal,
the
new normal,
the new normal?
No. What's normal? It's like everything else. Normal for me is not normal for you. Normal for everybody is different.
Yeah.
My normal day might be crazy for somebody else. Somebody else's normal day might be crazy for me. But that's normal for them.
Yeah.
It's all in the way that I see what they're doing. Because they do what I think is crazy, but it ain't crazy to them. This is a part of their everyday life.
Yep.
It's normal to them.
So true.
So again, and we buy into that, the new normal. See, we start repeating this nonsense. See,
that was so funny, the new normal.
Yeah,
and, is a normal or not?
No, like I said, it ain't no normal. It's only normal to you and me, how we look at whatever we're doing to be normal.
Right. I mean, because for you and I, it's normal for us to be on the radio on Wednesday. And Wednesday night, that's our normal. We're on the radio. We know what we're going to do. And people know
During the coronavirus, let me say this. When during this so-called coronavirus and this lockdown, this was normal to me. The only thing that wasn't normal was people wearing masks. I had to wear masks when I went to a store, went into a public place. But my life didn't change one iota. Not one.
Oh, it's changing mine because my son wouldn't take me nowhere.
But see, that's it. It didn't stop me from going anywhere. I wasn't locked down when I needed to go shopping, when I needed to go where I needed to go. I went. When I wanted to go walking, I walked. When I went to the park, I went to the park. It didn't stop me. So what was, it was the best thing that could have happened for people to get back to nature.
That
was the best damn thing could have happened. Slow down and get activated with nature again, because we've been taken so far off and away from it. The universe did this, not man. I don't look at them doing. They just following suit with what they think they're supposed to be doing, but I know that the universe put all this because it's time for it.
Yeah.
The crystals that everybody's talking about, the crystalline of a caterpillar. This was our time to crystallize, as we say, Christ consciousness. Christ.
Yes.
Consciousness, crystal. See?
Mm-hmm.
This was our time to metamorph, to change from that caterpillar to that butterfly, from that physical being to that spiritual being. We still not talking spiritual the way we should, because we still thinking we caterpillars in this physical state, talking this physical material nonsense. See, we was cocooned last year. Some of us came out of the cocoon, they done let you out your house, and you're still into this new norm. Normal. No, you not changed. It ain't never going to be normal. You not been cocooned and don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually.
Yeah.
We done got vibrations and all type of energy from the universe last year and coming into this year. We just had on our show Wednesday where they had the super blood full eclipse moon. They had all type of energy, and the strange thing, they had it cloudy damn near everywhere. Everybody I talked to in different regions, be it Midwest, West, or East, was cloudy.
Yeah, it was cloudy here also.
See what I'm saying?
It was cloudy here,
Why are they trying to make sure that we miss these celestial events that are actually for us?
Yeah.
When you break the numbers down to all these things, they named it, we didn't. Super, lunar, blood moon, full moon.
Yeah,
all
so
that
here
comes
they
back
called
to
it the flower moon.
The flower moon?
The
they
moon
give it all types of names. Yes, the flower moon. I mean, come on. But see, that's energy that was coming here on Earth. Some call it dark matter.
Yeah.
It reverberates from supernova 1987A that exploded in 1987. A supernova
thing that was supposed to go up in space.
No. This was an actual a new solar system being born.
Oh.
They called it the
that.
Eye of God. They called it the Eye of Uru. It looked like an hourglass. Yeah, they had pictures of it. It looked like an out in space where it looked like an hourglass with an eye in the middle of the hourglass.
Oh.
An actual
wow.
eye out in space. But this was a new universe, galaxy, or whatever it was being created.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these particles, space particles and dust, started to hit Earth in 2012. We not knowing 2012 is when they told us that the damn Earth was coming to the end in 2012, but they were dealing with the Mayan
calendar
that was only telling us that it was the end of an age, the end of Pisces, and us entering Aquarius. That's what it was about. Got us thinking that it was coming to an end.
Yeah.
Again, with their distractions, their nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since then, this supernova that exploded, the dark matter has been bombarding the Earth, and this is why they're trying to cloak the Earth. This is why, again, they wanted us to stay inside last year, because a lot of the particles of the dark matter was hitting the Earth. Dark matter is specifically meant for melanated people first, not only, but first. They know this. This is why they wanted everybody to shelter in place, stay at home.
Yeah.
See, it's more at the bottom that's on the surface. They're just giving us the surface, and again, on the surface, they still lying.
Yeah.
But that's why I say at the end of the day, numbers straighten me up, and I'm giving it to the family so they can help straighten the family up once they see it their way. Because Brother Eddie is giving it his way. The numbers show me that I'm able to give. It will show everybody something different. That's why we all have a different piece to bring to the table. When we bring in that puzzle together. And that's all we're doing is bringing the puzzle together, family. Everybody's got a piece. Mine happened to be with words and numbers.
Yes. Folks, you can still press the one if you have a question or a comment. I mean, we appreciate you being here and you listening, and that's fine. But if you have a question or a comment, you know, just press the one. Okay, forgive me, Brother Eddie, for cutting across.
Oh, ain't no problem. Ain't no problem. I'm gonna send you. I'm gonna send you the text. But I say I'm gonna send you the text probably Sunday, Monday, like we usually do for the class Wednesday. But I'll let you know the title now. The title of the show is called The Joke, The Trick, or The Code.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. See?
Oh, that
and when I break it down, understanding. See, all of them are five. See? Joke is five, trick is five, and code is five. I'm giving the code, but see, we've been played a trick on for a very long time, and we are the butt of the joke. And we ain't figured it out because they playing game. Game is five. So I'm going to show us the game and the code so we'll stop being tricked and stop being the joke. See?
Yeah.
Because we know the jokes are told by the comedian. After giving his story, he has the punchline, which is the joke at the end.
Yeah.
The magician gives us an illusion by showing us a trick. But the teacher should give us guidance to reveal a code. That's me, baby.
Yeah.
I'm the teacher.
Now, look, Brother Eddie.
He's giving the code.
The Joker. Is the Joker the government and the media?
Is the joke you talking about through the cards?
Yeah. Well, no, not necessarily through the cards, just in general that they're the ones that's delivering the joke.
Let's say it like this. They control the jokes.
Yeah.
They are the controller behind the jokes. They are the ones that give the puppeteers or the comedians the nod, the go-ahead, to get away with as much as they do. Don't think that, as you mentioned, Paul Mooney and stuff that he dropped, and like Drybone said, you can't be in the craft that long without paying homage to somebody. So, and again, they know like we know, if you cross that line, you come up dead. You come up impaired. You come up physically disabled, Parkinson's disease, and whatever they might throw on you, you know, all of a
like
sudden.
Yeah, like Parkinson's disease.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you got all these people who had a mouth during that time.
Yeah.
But again, did they cross the line? Because the more I find out, I don't care who it is and how far back we go, the majority of our people have signed a contract with the devil. When they sign that you sign your soul where you cannot say anything as far as consciously. You got to sit back and watch your people be destroyed. See, we got too many entertainers, ball players, be it artists for music or what. We got the collaboration of so many black people now, collectively, we billionaires. I mean, collectively, we got, so why ain't the black community as a whole, with all these damn black people with this money, came together and did something for our people? They wait for people to get killed, massacred, put a knee on their throat, and they get out and want to stand. So, no, your damn money speaks for you, too.
Yeah.
If you really want to do something, all the money y'all got, you won't spend it in a lifetime. But y'all can't collectively get together knowing that what y'all give ain't going to hurt what y'all got to uplift your people.
Yeah.
But y'all, everybody want to do it individually? I want to start this fund here. I want to do this here. It's called collective organization.
Yeah.
Y'all know how to do it, but y'all won't do it. Come on.
Well, there's something
we
that
talking
we
like this
together.
Over phone. We peons. We ain't got PhDs and all these so-called degrees that our brothers and sisters who have been a dub with damn Greek fraternities. That ain't did a damn thing. They do it for themselves, get a little money, and act like we not did. So, no, collectively, y'all got all this mind power, this brain power. Y'all supposed to come back and do something. Collectively, y'all ain't did shit. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
See, we've been – no.
That's true.
It's time. It's over now. It's over.
Yeah.
They ain't did nothing. Just like the NAACP now came out. I saw them today on the news talking about something. I think it was Google or one of these damn firms was – some damn plant and they're putting nooses all over the plant, and now the NAACP that's quiet as hell want to come out like they got something to do. Sit y'all ass down.
Oh, boy. They come out
y'all
after the fact.
Y'all was started by white damn organizations, too. All of our damn black organizations. See? Don't get me mad on my ooh, no. See, that's why we ain't got nothing. We've been here for so damn long before every and any other ethnic group or minority and everybody else on the springboard of us, and we got all these damn rich damn black folks, smart black folks, and ain't shit happen. That's telling me it's a concerted effort also behind this government that's orchestrated just to make sure that we as the black people don't go no damn where. There's no damn way. We in the same damn condition, and as we say, worse today than we were back then when we didn't segregate and we had our own mom and pop stores, our own filling stations, our own hotels and motels, because they didn't want us. And once we segregated, we lost all of it. And we in the condition we are now, begging to get stuff back. We had it. No. Like I said, we got everything we need within each other. It's up to us to fix us.
Yeah.
We got to just start calling one another, each other out, or pulling each other's coattail, you know, and like, man, come on, stop playing the bullshit.
If you can do it, you can do it. But don't act like you really care and you ain't doing what you can do. You ain't doing your part. We got to just actually stop pulling each other coattails and, hey, man, come on, stop all this bullshit. We've been bullshitting too long.
Yeah.
See?
Yes. We've been doing it for decades.
For decades. Talking.
Yeah. From James Brown saying nothing.
Talking loud and saying nothing. That's it.
Yes. Yep.
Talking loud and saying nothing. Man.
Yep. And you know, we got to get together. I mean, it's a shame. It's just,
like
you know,
I said, I don't give up on us because, again, I've been told from the universe, Galactic Federation, the wind and the air, that what I'm giving is for our children.
Yeah.
So I've already accepted these parents that didn't know how to be parents, like you said, once they saw that they was home from work and had to be parents.
Yeah.
It's not for them, see. This is for those of us who are getting this, who are able to pass it on to your children, because it's this that our children be to have another weapon to fight these individuals with on a spiritual or metaphysical level, because all this that I'm giving is metaphysical. It's a number.
But also pass it on to our grandchildren. I mean, I'm
sure
you pass it on to your grandchildren.
But see, that's it. When I say children, I don't just mean your offspring. I mean your children's children. I'm with Stevie Wonder on that when I'm always talking about songs in the key of life when he made Ass, that song. When he said changing words into truth and then changed that truth into love. And maybe our children's grandchildren's and their great-great-grandchildren's would tell. That's where my mind is.
Yeah.
For our children's children's great-great-grandchildren. I'm leaving this legacy for them.
Yeah.
Because that song was edged in my mind for a reason. Now, see, I go back and reflect on my total life now. And I pull in things like that that's part of my journey right here, right now. Because we've all been on that, but we forgot parts of our journey. Very important at this juncture of our journey right now. We learned things in the past to be able to use them today and tomorrow. And we not forget.
Yeah.
This is why Brother Kwame, and we always talking about memories.
Yeah.
Water brings back memory and consciousness. Because we not forget a whole lot. I reflect so much, and like I said, being out in nature, nature helps me remember stuff I never forgot that I ain't thought about in 30, 40 years. And I'm like, Dad, why did I ask nature? I asked the universe. I asked the creator. What I'm asking, why did I get this? I asked for it. Nigga, you got it. Use it.
Yeah.
Remember. You just remember for a reason, because I see why I can use this now. I forgot this, man. But that's what we do, and a lot of times we do it by just communicating with each other. A conversation will bring back a thought. It'll bring back something old, and you're like, damn, I forgot that. Man, you're like, thanks. See, because we have things we're supposed to get back in contact with so we can use them today. That's why they said if you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it. If you know it, I see it coming. So I prepare and I already know what to do because we've been down this road before or I read this before. I know because being wiser than my forefathers, they done wrote the information that gave me the blueprint of what to look out for.
Yeah.
But see, that's why they want to take the seniors out first. They have the blueprint of the old ways. We always say at times the old way is the best way. Old school, you know?
Yeah.
Because, again, we lost a lot of that was never given to our children. And we got to go back and give this to them. A lot of us, because we went through, some of us look at it as being terror and child abuse and all. But guess what? Look how you turned out.
Yep.
Look how you didn't turn out to be a killer.
I remember having to go on.
You know,
I remember having to
it to switch.
Oh, yeah. You know, so again, see, all of that was lost because basically the authority of the government told you not to. You can't hit your child anymore. That's child abuse.
Well, I still, mine still got
if you,
it.
If you hit your child.
And they still had to go out and get a switch.
Your child can call the police on you. And you, I mean, I used to hear people when I was going into schools and parents all afraid to check. I said, give me 5 minutes with them. Let me go in the coat room. They'll be straight.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
Oh, Mr. Harris, you did. Yes, yes, I will.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a child. I don't give a fuck. You give me permission, I tear that ass up. What you ain't did,
yeah,
I do.
But now it's okay for them
it.
To do it. They have police doing
no.
it, and that's okay.
But see, that's the thing. That's why they don't want you to do it, so they can lock your
yep.
baby up. And they're trying to make laws now where if a minor does something, that the parent has to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know.
And then
so
also, look for the children that are going to jail for, you know, going to jail for almost life and for life. You know, seven
yeah.
and 8 years old, you know, they're doing something, they're charging them as an adult. And then not only are they charging them as an adult, but they're putting them in adult prisons. You know, where, you know, I mean, so that's another form of population control.
Oh, like I said.
Eugenics, you see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and who are the ones that they put in the most? They put ours in the most because they're so concerned about us. They wanted us to be the first ones to take this vaccine. So another form of population control, eugenics. You know, they come at us every way they can. The only thing is we have to be watchful over what they're doing so that we don't fall into the trap.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
Now,
but anyway,
so you switching
that? I hear something in the background, like somebody slurping or doing something. But,
yes, he is. I'm going to put him on mute.
Okay. that sounds like a Brother West move. Brother West is going to sleep on you in a minute.
No, that's my cousin. He's good for that.
Yeah.
But he'll be talking
but
the next thing you know, he's more. Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and get off because I got a couple of things I got to do and get ready for tomorrow
okay.
myself.
Okay, well, let's play it out. What can we go out with, Brother Eddie?
Whatever you want to play. You know me, I always prefer Parliament, but this wasn't my show, so you can go out with what you want to.
All right, well, we can go out with Parliament. Which Parliament do you want?
Oh, well, we're going to be doing Funkintelligy again, so go out with Funkintelligy because we never did. I didn't break that down with did you pass or fail.
Okay. So you want Funkintelligy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And that's your thought intelligence, family. That's what it stands for, your intelligent thought.
Okay. I can see it. Let's see.
Yo, this is Mood
Control.
Saying you might as well pay attention. You can't afford free.
Wait a minute. Folks, thank y'all for coming. Don't forget Dry Bones on Sunday for the Helios at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And don't forget Brother Ray with the drums at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. No matter where you are in the world, don't forget Brother Ray with the drums. Don't forget Brother Kwame and his mother. I spoke to Brother Kwame today and
okay.
said his mother is doing, she's doing better. She took a treatment today. So he's gone
okay.
back out there
okay.
tomorrow. And also don't forget Sister Parrish, who is still in a lot of pain and still awaiting her fourth hip replacement.
Fit.
So.
Fifth
we
replacement.
Want to keep pardon me?
No, I was just saying it's her fifth. That this will be her fifth hip
oh,
replacement.
Her fifth. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
That's why we'll be talking about the five, on that five.
Yeah, so, you know, we want to keep everyone in mind. Don't forget that Brother Roland Bynum is on the radio. Let me see. He said at 3 a.m. was 3 a.m. California time. So whatever time it is for y'all. No, 5 a.m. he said. And it's
right, because he gets up at 3 to get there at 5.
Yeah. It's KJLH-FM, and he said you can get it on the Internet. So we want to, you know, give him support as well. So with that, y'all, oh, and don't forget Miss Kim's. Her love and her passion is the Vets. And since this is, you know, Memorial Day weekend, we want to keep the Vets up in prayer and give them our thoughts. And, you know, also, you know, for the homeless Vets and everything else, if you see one, you know, if you could pass them a couple of dollars or, you know, something. Because, you know, it's a shame our Vets are all around the world fighting and they come home and they're treated like crap. So we want to keep our Vets in mind as well. Okay. Now, Brother Eddie, you have anything you want to add? You want to give your contact information?
Yes, I can be contacted at eharris1264@gmail.com. Family, be safe and have a good holiday weekend. But again, be safe.
Yes.
Peace and love until Wednesday, our show. We will see you then.
Yes. Okay, y'all have a good one. Okay, you know what? I guess I should have let it play because now I can't play it because the show is over. So we're in that
right.
overtime period.
Right,
you know,
right,
that extra
right,
time.
Right.
And
right.
Miss Kim is still here, but she's solid. So I think Miss Kim is on the other line talking to somebody.
Okay. All
yeah.
right, then.
Okay,
with
y'all.
That,
well, thank you for coming.
Oh, no problem. Talk to you Wednesday.
Okay, have a good night. Have a good one,
you
y'all.
Too.
We'll see y'all Wednesday. Okay.